Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
You talk about in the book, and a lot, you know, people talk about sexual harassment, but you talk about sexual favoritism. Yeah. And I think that is such an amazing concept. This is another thing I don't get. Every guy's like, oh, I better not. Like, there's a comic that's like, oh, I better not say hi to that one. You know, how do men not know how to behave? And like, why is it so uncomfortable for you to be just yourself around a woman? Like, I don't understand that.
I think they're embarrassed and want to feel that way. And it's because they're eating a bag of potato chips.
Right.
And they're not really working. They're watching sports. They're, you know, they're.
And it's like, you're the school marm, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you talk about sexual favoritism? Because I think every woman listening to this should understand this concept.
If you go to the EOCC, it is a form of sexual harassment.
Right.
And it's where there's an atmosphere at work where sexual favors are linked to benefits. And this harms not only the people who are giving the sexual favors, but everyone in that environment, including men, including women. It means there's a path to getting ahead that's blocked off to you if you're not attractive.
Right.
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 Or if you're not open to that.
Or flirting. I mean, in the clubs, you know, these women would be like with the bookers and like, hey, and I was like, ugh, I can't even do that. I mean, besides the fact that I'm a lesbian, I can't, it feels wrong. Okay. So.
But I don't want to talk about this too much, but one of the reasons I think I was so sensitive to that atmosphere was I was sexually assaulted by a head writer.
I know. I can't wait to get to that. That
oh my God. So anyway, but just we'll talk about that more later. But right. I really, boy, did I not like that feeling. And I became very professional after that.
Right. So that whole atmosphere gave you, and you had closure. That is the fucking most amazing thing. You know, you end up also being a journalist. Also, Tina Brown calls you and is like, write for Vanity Fair. And you're like, okay. And you end up in 2009 writing about your experience on Letterman and why you quit and what the atmosphere was like. And he could have been like, fuck you, you fucking asshole. But that's when David Letterman admitted on the air.
Yeah.
I have had sex with members of my staff. And
he said women who work for me.
You know,
that he chose not to say with me, but right. For me.
Right. And he got a laugh. And it's so, you know,
applause.
And applause. And it was such a bro moment.
Yeah.
How did you feel? Like, yes, he admitted it, but it was like, I'm still the man. I'm still, you know what I mean? It wasn't, I don't know. It's just like, it's fucking, and they're like, yeah, that's right. And then on The View, Barbara Walters is defending him.
How much do we love Joy, though?
Oh, Joy Behar. Let me say something. When I talk about speaking truth to power, that is Joy Behar. That is, you know, I say there's a reason why every one of these panel shows has a comedian, because we will tell the fucking truth. But she is so brilliant and well-spoken. And she was like, you know, arguing with Barbara. Jewish.
Yeah, I adore her.
Yeah, I love her too.
Now, she stood up for me and was like that, you know, Barbara will always protect the powerful man.
Right.
Always side with the powerful man. And that in her generation.
Right. You know, that was it.
High status.
Right. Like,
she had to do that. By the way, her book Audition is delicious.
It is.
She fucked everyone.
Oh my God. I got it. I have to.
You got to read it. And she's very open about it. But yeah.
Wow. Barbara was a slut. That's nice to know. So 10 years later, 2019, you write another piece for Vanity Fair about the fact that you met with David. At 10 years after this whole thing happens, where he admits it, and you have this conversation with him. I mean, who has closure? And he apologizes.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
So you go and see him. You're tiny. He's tall. He's got that. That beard is so fucking annoying. Like, I don't get it. But anyway, you go and meet with him, and you have this substantive, real conversation with him. And you write about how if you're listening, listeners, go read these two Vanity Fair articles. One, read the one from 2009 and then read the one from 2019. It's so incredible. He has this, David Letterman ends up having this sort of transformation after leaving his show. Men get to fucking, you know, it's just amazing. Where he goes to therapy, he takes some antidepressants and realizes, I'm a fucking asshole. I was a fucking asshole. You know,
there's a comedian, whose joke is that? You know, I look back and I was an asshole in high school. And then I look back and I was an asshole in college, and it just hit me. I'm an asshole now.
Right. I don't even know. That's funny.
But, maybe Bob Marley, the guy from Maine.
Yeah. You went and met him. You said you were a little nervous.
I took a data blocker. I was just shaking.
Oh, that's
sweating.
So funny.
Yeah.
How did that feel to get sort of vindicated from David, you know, in person?
You know, personally, I didn't feel, you know, they had hired me. I had left. I went on to good things. So I wasn't bitter personally. I felt there were, after I wrote this piece in 2009, a lot of women came to me with their stories of working on that show, wanting to be writers, getting jokes in constantly, but never getting the promotion that, you know, every guy who ever worked at the reception desk at Letterman got. And so I really felt I was speaking for a lot of, or representing a lot of women when we met. And the two points I wanted to make were, one is like, is we have to discuss this. I love Me Too, so this isn't a slam on Me Too, but there's a group of people whose reaction to that was, men need to shut up and listen. And men said that too. I think it's time for us to shut up and listen. I think Matt Damon said that. And then there's also women saying that. I disagree. I don't think anyone should be told to shut up. I think we need to discuss this. Women need to be seen not as complaining, but as offering their truth. And men need to be able to say, I was wrong, but let's move forward and be better. So I thought that, you know, did that come through in the article? That
Oh, yes, yes. And I feel like you're right. There's no evolution without discourse. You can't shut up one half of the fucking conversation, you know? You got to hear it.
And then the other thing I really want is, because Dave is a leader, and, you know, when I wrote that 2009 piece, the awful emails and notes I got from people who I'd worked with, people who were still working with Letterman, you know, I was a traitor. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Lucky that they ever let me work there. Dave speaking out, I think on a personal level, it meant a lot to me because it was a message to those people.
Right. Never too late. Yeah.
Yeah. Get with the program.
So you have these four stages, which I love. The four stages of every Hollywood writer. And you write about how a Hollywood writer's career average is 11 years. 11 fucking years. And hopefully you get a show in syndication, you don't have to work again. But can you tell us the four stages? I love this.
By the way, I think that's probably expanded now because there's so many more channels.
Right.
And
you know, the other thing is that when, you know, back to the Letterman thing, is that, you know, at one of your first jobs, you worked with Conan, and he ended up on his show not having any women. He ended up, now he has a lot of women. Leno, never a woman, didn't give a shit.
Well, he had them, and then he would fire them.
Right.
And some of them were absolutely brilliant writers.
Yeah. How about women of color? Did you ever, I mean, in any writer's room, did you ever work with a woman of color?
Oh, that's such an awful, embarrassing question. Yeah, I mean, on dramas, I did.
Right.
But in comedy, you know.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. I mean, we have it bad, but they have it. All right. So,
yeah,
can you
talk about that, Larry Wilmore and I, and this is like 20 yeah. years ago, like arguing with each other who had it worse, you know?
Right.
Black men.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And we both did agree that Black women had it
the worst. Yeah.
And it's, I think that they are having a moment and it's long delayed.
But yeah. Thank you, Stacey Abrams. Woo! What are the four stages of every Hollywood writer?
Oh, they are, who is Nell Scovell? Get me Nell Scovell. Get me a younger, cheaper Nell Scovell. And who is Nell Scovell?
I mean, it's fucking brilliant. It is so fucking brilliant. It is so true. You don't know how many times I've gone an audition. They're like, we want a blank. We want a, you know, young Janine. I'm just making the young Janine Garofalo. Get Janine Garofalo. Get her. That's who you want. Shut the fuck up.
Remember that line in the Coen Brothers movie? Who better for that Barton Fink feeling than Barton Fink?
Exactly.
I love our new sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. It is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers, of which I am one of them. They have everything you want, really, seriously, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. And I know you're thinking, Judy, you live in an apartment in New York City. What's with the fast-growing trees? Well, let me tell you something. You don't need to have a yard or a lot of space. You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home. And guess what I have? A fig tree in my office, and I fucking love it. I love it. Hi, Avi. His name is Avi. And I love him. And he brightens up. It makes me so happy. And I talk to him. Okay, I know I'm going overboard, but having plant life in your house is so comforting. And I love fast-growing trees. Thank you for this beautiful fig tree. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever. Okay. And I just got a new pot for Avi. So I'm going to be calling them and asking them the correct way to put it in there. You will find the perfect thing for your climate, for your space, for your aesthetic needs. It's great. I love it. I have a plant and it's so, I'm telling you, it has made me much happier. And you know how happy I am. Anyway, this spring, which is, you know, spring is, it is the growing season. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online. Up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
Okay, I'm just going to read a list of the shows you wrote on. The Simpsons, Monk, Murphy Brown, The Muppets, Newhart, Coach, Mystery Science Theater 3000, Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves, Charmed, Late Night with David Letterman, The Kennedy Center Honors 2014, but you, I don't know if people know this, created the hit show Sabrina. First of all, you hit the Sabrina the Teenage Witch. The fact that I was never on Coach and I was gigantic, that used to piss me off so fucking much.
Oh.
Yeah. What was her name? Who was the woman? And everyone...
Tall.
Tall.
She, and her name, character name was Judy.
Right. And you know what? Yeah. And I was in LA at that time and everyone's like, well, that's your part. It's not my part. I don't have it. That was your part. Because it was always like, you know what? You're a specific type and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And there's only one part for a tall woman. Yeah. The fuck was her name?
Pam Stone.
Pam Stone. Right. That's right.
She and Bill Fagerbakke were so good together.
Yeah, she was great. I haven't seen her in.
And you know who played one of in the very last episode? One of the Daryl's wives was what? Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Kristen Miller played the other one.
Yeah, everyone used to be like, "Well, you know, every time I wouldn't get something, that was your part, and I never even auditioned for it. Shut the fuck up." You know who I used to always see at auditions? Jane Lynch. It's like, because we were both tall. But, you know, the non-Jews get the... I swear to God, there's so, don't you think there's a lot of anti-Semitism? I mean, there's a lot of Jewish writers, but there's a lot of anti-Semitism.
Well, as far as...
Like, we're not doing that show. It's too Jewish. And it's only Jews who say that. Okay. Yeah. So, let's go. You create Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I know. I went so hard after Caroline Ray for that because she's funny in her bones.
Yeah, she's great. I love Caroline, even though jealous. Okay. So, no, I love her. So her name is Sabrina Spellman. So I don't know if anyone knows, Sabrina is Jewish. She is named after your father's friend, Irving Spellman.
Yes.
And what a perfect fucking name for a witch, Spellman.
It's canon now. I gave her that last name. And then when they rebooted the show, you know, like the spooky adventures,
what right. was it?
The dark and scary. Because, you know, every Sabrina, every generation gets the Sabrina they deserve.
Right.
So this generation got a really super scary one. But they open on a sign that's like Spellman Mortuary. And it almost killed me.
I love it. I love it. Were you freaking out? You sell this show. You're the fucking boss.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a lot of work. I ended up writing half the episodes. And
right.
Yeah.
But you were the boss. What did you do differently?
Well, we were over half women in the writer's room. It was a far more diverse, not racially, but
right.
But in a lot of ways, you know, we had not just Harvard people, Stanford people too.
Nice.
Yeah, we had an array of people and very female. I mean, the first three names on the call sheet were all women. The two executive producers were women. You had to get down to a producer level. My co-EP was a woman. My supervising producers were women. The first man was producer. And you know who was the story editor? Was Nick Bakay.
Oh, wow. Really?
I gave him his first shot at writing sitcoms.
Did you get any pushback? Like, there's too many women on this. Did anyone ever say, did any guys complain? Was there ever?
No, but it was, remember, it was a TGIF show.
So yeah.
Considered like more of a child show and
then you think women. Why do you and it's also now daytime. Why can women only host in daytime?
Oh, don't get it's so awful that and the other thing is sidekicks. I was watching which one was it the other day? Like and just have some women sidekick.
I would be such a good sidekick.
You would be.
I agree.
Why do we need like Steve Higgins and Guillermo and just?
I know. It's just, it's such a fucking boys' club.
I mean, at least Seth Meyers, like the energy with Amber Ruffin. Look, Howard Stern figured that out.
Right.
Right.
Howard Stern did it from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I write a lot about Howard in my book. And
tell me, like, what's your take?
First of all, he's fucking hilarious. He is a genius. And I tell a story in my book about how you're going to love this. I pitched when he started his production company, I was with Don Buchwald and I went in and pitched a show to him, right? About a lezzy family, you know, he was so nice, right? And I pitched the show and he's like, I really like it. And then, I don't know, a week later, I'm at home and the phone rings. And my best friend from college, who's the one who dared me to do stand-up, Howard, his name is Howard. So I answered the phone and I said, hello. And I hear, hi, this is Howard. And I'm thinking, Howard, why is your voice so deep? And he goes, I said, Howard. And he said, Stern. And I was like, what? And he said, listen, I want to tell you, I loved your pitch. I loved the show. I say this with a heavy heart. We cannot do it because we have five shows. You know, blah, blah. That was the one and only time anyone called me to tell me, I'm so, I think you're so talented. With a heavy heart, I really want to do this. I can't, you know, that has never happened. I mean, who does that?
Yeah, no, and it's, you remember those moments of decency and kindness, because there's precious little.
Yes, they're tiny in this business.
I've never done Howard show. I always wanted to.
Now you forget it because he has one guest and it's like, you know, but yeah, he's brilliant. He's fucking brilliant. Jim Stafford, this guy had his own show in the 70s, right? Didn't he? He had a
summer series.
A summer series.
Letterman had worked on, which is crazy.
And you're hired. He's doing a show. What was it? Wilton and North?
No, this is Smothers Brothers show.
Oh, right. The Smothers Brothers. I write about the Smothers Brothers in the book. Yeah. So they had another show and you were working on it. First of all, is Mason Williams nice? I love him.
Love him.
And his music.
Like he would play, like he actually played Classical Gas for me.
Oh my God. That was my favorite song. Still, when I was running that, like when I would do long runs, I would listen to that over. And that song, Classical Gas, is so fucking great.
I think the most played classical piece of music, like music without lyrics.
Right. Yeah. I fucking love him. Okay. So you're working on this show as a writer. You're the only woman. And then you get invited to a party. Can you just tell? This is such a fucking classic Hollywood woman writer story. You get invited to a party at his house, which you realize, you say you realize they were doing shit outside of the office that you weren't invited to, right? So right. Then you get
a rap party for the first season, and we had just gotten picked up for second season, but he hadn't told the writers whether he was picking up. We all had options on our contracts. And I don't want to tell the whole story because I was so careful in the book
about right.
how I told it. And
well, we can do a truncated tiny, but you know, you end up going to this party.
Yeah.
He walks you out and says, why don't we stop here and let me show you the house? You know, he brings you in the bedroom, you know.
Yeah. He makes me blow him, basically.
Right. I mean, see, that's where my height comes in handy.
Yes.
You know, no one's going to fucking grab my head and go, you know, because they can't reach it. Good night, folks.
But here's the thing. It happened super fast, as these things always do. I disassociated. I was really in my head about, like, he's never been very nice to me, but wait, was he attracted to me? Also, he's deciding whether to hire me or not, so maybe I should just go along with this.
It's just a fucking, and this is what every woman goes through.
But I knew I'd been manipulated. Just as, like, even walking to my car, I was like, what was that? That was not right. And again, here, I'll go back to my family and say one of, you know, the great fortunes of my life is, you know, I wasn't raised in a family where sex was dirty or I had to be ashamed of the actual act. And that I was lucky about that.
Right.
I just kind of move on and say that was, you know, he was the one who misbehaved, not me.
Right. But still, you feel dirty. You feel like, oh my God, I can't believe that fucking happened. You know,
I felt like the shame, more like I didn't tell anyone because I was ashamed about that. And the joke is, he didn't ask me back on the.
I know. I can't fucking believe that. I guess you give bad blowjobs. Okay.
Yes, I failed. I failed the interview.
Oh, fuck him. Fuck him.
But thank God. I mean, I was already thinking like, well, wait, I'm not going to sit in a room with the guy
right.
who did that to me.
Right, right.
And where is he today, Judy? Who knows?
Go fuck yourself. Oh, yeah.
I will admit, every now and then I Google just to see if he's died yet.
Yeah, right.
Because that'll be a nice day for me.
Yeah. It's just fucking, it's crazy.
So, I don't wish him dead, but I will celebrate his death. I just want to make that distinct.
Yeah. I know. I feel that way about someone orange.
Yes.
He can't die. Orange cannot die before he goes to jail. There's certain things I need to see with this motherfucker. I mean, I don't know if this presidency did for you. I'm sure it did. The misogyny in those 4 years, I was enraged. Like, I have never been so enraged that, you know, his words, his actions, the fact that, I mean, it's like Letterman going, yeah, it's sex, and everyone applauding him, the pussy grabber, these, you know, he riled me up. Like, it's just, it's incredible what he did.
It's, you know, it's deep. It's the last gasp of.
But what about the women who fucking supported him, who voted? Like, what the fuck? What do you think of yourself?
Well, again, they want to associate with high status.
Right. They're the Barbara Walters. Everyone's like a Barbara Walters. Yeah.
Gloria Steinem gave an amazing metaphor. I know, the best. And this was before the election. So this is when Hillary's running. And yeah. And she said, this is a moment in a history that is like the moment when an abused woman has decided to leave the abusive husband. And that is the most dangerous time, the time between making the decision getting out the door, because the abusive husband will do anything to keep her in, including kill her.
Right.
And, you know, we are fighting to get out that door, women and people of color. It is exactly it. And
you know,
no, I own you.
Right. You know, what's interesting is that I was so resentful that Joe Biden, in the beginning, that Joe Biden was the nominee. I was like, really? We have to have a fucking white guy. But he picked Kamala.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
But the fact that we need, like, it's like a relay race, and that we needed the white guy to hand off the thing to say, here, like, why? You know what I mean? But I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Because look at this fucking, and that Amy Cuntie Barrett, I fucking hate her. She is disgusting.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
Did you realize Sabrina was going to be the hit it was? Did you feel vindicated? Like, after that show went into syndication and became, like, huge, how did your life change?
I was very happy that it was successful because I went into it thinking I wanted to make a show that I would have liked as a kid. And, you know, there's a lot of Simpsons in that show. If you haven't watched it, it's got a weird, twisted view of the world. Sabrina doesn't want to be popular. She wants to be a good person. She wants to be a good student. She doesn't want to go shopping.
Right.
My pet peeve about all these 50-year-old men writing teenage girls. It's like, but they like shopping.
Yeah.
And not all do.
Right.
So that was great. I loved, you know, we did an episode early on where I was really trying to break the whole TGIF moral at the end of the show concept. It was so Sabrina does want to find out if Harvey likes her. So her aunts give her truth sprinkles from their, you know, pantry, magical pantry. And she's in home ec and they make bundt cakes. It's Bundt Tuesday.
So Jewish.
There's a line, I'm pretty sure it was Nick Bakay's, where the teacher's like, smell your bunts. Smell your bunts. And so Sabrina puts the sprinkles on Harvey's slice of cake and gives it to her. But what she doesn't see is she puts the sprinkles down on the counter. Someone else picks it up and puts it. The teacher puts it on all the cakes. So now everyone in the high school is telling the truth. And the moral of that episode was the world would be a horrible place if everyone told the truth.
Right. I love that. It's true.
We're really subversive, and they left us alone.
There's something about shows that are quote unquote for kids that have jokes for the adult. You know, that to me, when I would watch with my kids, I was like, you know, oh, thank you for putting that in so that, you know, I can laugh too. And it was funny because my kids would be like, wait, I love that they love comedy so much, but they would be like,
you know, the gym coach, the girls gym coach at Sabrina's high school was named Coach Sappho, and we spelled it S-A-F-F-O.
No one knew that.
Got flagged by the censors.
That kind of stuff is so funny because then my kids would be like, wait, why are you laughing? And then they'd figure it out and they'd be like, oh, you're laughing because, and they ended up appreciating.
By the way, I don't think I would do that joke today. I think it's which is an interesting evolution. And I don't understand comedy writers, Jerry Seinfeld, who don't understand that it's evolved. A joke I was comfortable making in 1996, I understand why 25 years later, I wouldn't want to make that same.
Right. And then that's why you have to get my book. Yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. But yeah, the men, the white men in this business, it's awful. You have accomplished pretty much anything.
Except for Albert Brooks. I want to do a shout out for Albert Brooks.
Oh,
greatest.
Greatest.
And always, you know, wrote with Monica Johnson.
Right.
Really wanted that female voice. It's why Lost in America is so good.
What about Carl Reiner? I mean, having a woman writer on Dick Van Dyke Show. I mean,
the writing staff was great.
Right. It was unbelievable. Sally Roger. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. She is our patron saint.
You've done everything. You've written on all these shows. You know, you wrote for Spy Magazine. You were, you know, write for Tina Brown. You wrote for Cosmo. Is there anything else you want to do?
Oh, yeah. I'm writing a novel now, which I've never done before.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And it's going to become a movie and there's a tall lesbian in it?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I don't know if I'm any good at it, but you know, my theory, and I have this in my book, is that you should always try new things because if you're good at them, that's amazing. And
right.
If you're bad at them, you've got the best excuse.
Right.
I've never done this before.
Right.
What do you expect?
It's amazing. Now you're back in the Boston area.
I am.
Are you going to stay there?
I grew up in Newton.
Right.
You know, I went to college here. My dad lives in Cambridge. And when Donald Trump won in, you know, 2016.
Stole the election. Yeah.
This just visceral response of, I want to go home.
Right. Wow.
And I literally live around the corner from Elizabeth Warren.
No way! I fucking love that. Do you see her walking the dog and everything?
I have a photo of Bailey in the window. They should have more security.
Honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was very visceral. But I continued. I went back and forth to LA. And then when the pandemic hit, you know, we hunkered down here. So I don't know what the world's going to look like in another year, you know, with Biden and Harris in the White House, maybe, and a vaccine, things will change.
But oh my God. From your mouth.
I went to my safe place.
Yeah. But is he going to get the fuck out of the White House? Like, what the fuck? He won't even get seat. They said Kayleigh McEnany said that, he's not going to, there's no concession speech. He will not concede.
He's got to leave. He doesn't want to live there. He wants to go to Mar-a-Lago and play golf.
Right. And you know what? He's a criminal. And so are his kids. So fuck them.
My hope is that he goes down to Florida for Thanksgiving and just says, fuck it, I'm staying here.
Right. Right. And then we have Mike Pencilhead.
No, he's
done.
Out. Yeah.
Okay.
They like Stephen Miller to run things, which...
Oh, I hate that fucking... He doesn't even get the
bell. You know
what?
Don't ring the bell for him.
Yeah, I just took it back. I'm taking it back. Okay. That motherfucker.
We don't
know. I asked two questions of all my guests. Number one, we're very pro mental health. I have anxiety. I have like mental, you know. What do you do mental health-wise to keep, you know... But you seem so fucking healthy. It's so annoying.
Back when I was on Newhart, so this is 1989, there was a supervising producer, a great guy named Bob Benditson, super funny, actually wrote the finale of that show. So if you love the Newhart finale, you should thank Bob Benditson for that. And he was the one who said, you know, our jobs, we sit a lot. So you should really work out every day. And he did. He was in incredible shape. And I started doing that. And I've continued.
Yeah. Because,
you know, I just sweat for an hour every day. And I think it's really helped me. So, I mean, that's a very serious answer. But
yeah, but it's true. Exercise is important. What is Bob Newhart the nicest guy in the whole world?
He is. I mean, you know, from my book.
Right. Yeah.
He had very little interaction.
Right, right.
But such a pro, an incredible pro.
It's just amazing the people you've worked with. Okay. Now, my podcast is called Kill Me Now because I get aggravated about every fucking little thing. So I want to know what makes you so fucking angry? And it could be anything. Like, what pisses you off more than anything in the entire world where you're like, I can't take it anymore?
Oh, pedophile priest. I don't even have to think about one. I grew up in Boston.
Right.
And I knew they were creepy and you heard stories and it took so long. I'm the only one who didn't like the movie Spotlight.
Right.
I was like, what the fuck took you so long?
Right, right, right.
And I just think they're just evil incarnate.
It's so weird. There's so many. How come there's so many?
So many, and they cover it up. I give a lot to SNAP, which is a group that supports, it's a support group for victims. And nothing makes my blood boil faster.
It's awful.
Or hotter.
Ugh, it's so gross.
What's yours? What's yours?
Oh my God, I have so many. But you know what I've decided? I mean, injustice. Things that are unfair make me crazy. And that, you know, that's why this whole, you know, administration, I was so enraged. I'm like, but that's not, how is he getting away with that? But I have decided lately that the thing that really pisses me off lately is when I'm in my car, right? And I'm at a street, a stop sign, and I'm waiting for people to cross the street and they're walking really slow. I want to fucking kill them. Like, just like deliberately, I want to run them. I want to be like, what the, like that. And people at the airport.
Wait, are they slow? Cause they're looking at their phones. Cause
no, yeah. And, or they're just, yeah, they're just not. And it's like, move. The same thing with people on the people mover at the airport who stand there. Like what, like, you're supposed to walk on the people mover. It gets you there. You're not supposed to stand there like a lazy, like how much fucking time in your life do you have to just, you're so fucking lazy. You want the ground to move like that. I can't, you know.
So a pedophile priest not walking on a people mover.
Oh, that's it. We both of us would be fucking screaming.
Yeah, we'd be losing our minds.
That's hilarious. You, everyone can follow you on Twitter at Nell Scovell, NellScovell. But the fact that that caricature of you.
No, it's, by the way, I'm at Nellsco,
NellScovell. But that caricature of you.
Someone took my name. It was weird.
What the fuck?
And they were like, I'll sell it to you. And it's like, I don't even like it that much.
It's Helen. So if you're looking for Nellsco, it's the caricature that was drawn of you that your father said to you, said, oh, look at this caricature. And your father said,
it's not flattering, but it looks like you. And ding that bell, because that
that's
is
right.
The most
that
Jewish
is
thing.
Such a Jewish thing. It's not flat, but it looks, you know, like that fucking backhanded fucking. Yeah. So if you see a beautiful, flattering caricature, that's Nellsco. But I can't thank you enough. I've been dying to do this. I wanted to do it in person, but we never could. And now I'm doing them on Zoom because of that fucking piece of shit. But we're going to have a new president and a female vice president.
And the only, I think the one thing Trump can console himself with is because he botched the pandemic so horribly. Right. Biden's inauguration crowd size will be more than his.
Right. And then he can go jerk off to that.
Yeah.
In his little, with his little.
He can have that as long as we get the White House back.
Right, right.
Thank you all so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and only Nell Scovell. How about that life, huh? She's amazing. Anyway, if you like the show, which, okay, you wouldn't be listening if you didn't like it. And it is brilliant. And so am I. So make sure to subscribe, leave a review. It helps more people find this amazing podcast. And please, 5 stars. I can't with the negativity. I can't. 5 stars only. Thank you. Speaking of 5 stars, if you have not purchased my book, yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. Seriously, you have issues. Because it's so good and you're listening to my podcast. So you can listen to my book. It was in the New York Times book review. You can Kindle it. You can buy it anywhere. Let me just read a review. Shall I? Let's go to Amazon. We'll read a review. Here's a review from KD. I chose a 5-star rating because the book was without flaw. .. To me, Judy kept the book on point and interesting throughout its entirety. I'm really glad I purchased this book because I learned things, certain things, about comedians that I had no knowledge of. That's right. Thank you, KD. Okay? Really, it's such a great book. And guess what? It would be a really good stocking stuffer or Hanukkah gift. Please. And I need the money. So it really would mean so much to me. And all the order links are on the homepage of my website, judygold.com, or wherever books are sold. But if you go to judygold.com, you'll be like, oh, wow, Judy has a new website. So there's a lot of stuff going on in your life that revolves around me. Make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all upcoming virtual and live events. That's right. I do have some live events, like on December 5th in Pennsylvania. Everything is at Judy Gold at JEWDYGOLD because I'm a Jew. Get it? Like Jew Gold. And I can't thank you enough for listening, supporting this podcast. And please be safe and take care of yourself. Wear a mask. And we're getting a new president on January 20th. I love you so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.